Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I got one for you right here. That's not it.
That's not it.
Here?
That's it.
Nope.
Oh, there you go.
That's not it.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah. Wow. Justin Jefferson hitting the crossbar from midfield. Hey, get back to me when you do it from your knees like Kyle Bowler did 21 years ago.
Yeah, it just shows you,
it's impressive.
You, it is. It is. He's throwing that. It doesn't look like he's at midfield. It looks like he might be on the 45, right, when he releases it, right? Do you think that's in the middle of the logo?
No, but, no. He's Yeah. It's,
you know,
45.
What I mean? Yeah, learn your field. Yep, let me teach you your field, okay? That's the edge of the emblem. That's not on the middle of the
– Yeah, I see
okay?
Okay. I see it.
But right. It just – back in the end zone, right, another 10 yards, plus it's, you know, 10 feet up in the air basically, right? So he threw that ball 60 yards and threw it pretty easy. It just shows you how great
– And he hit it.
Hey, no.
And he hit the – and he hit it.
I would argue, and maybe other than Mahomes and Josh Allen – I would bet you if you took Justin Jefferson and Odell Beckham Jr., there's probably another receiver or two out there where if you got them in a long toss competition, right, and I'm, like I said, I take Allen and Mahomes out just off the top of my head, I would bet you those guys could beat most quarterbacks in football when it just comes to throwing it as far as you actually can. I would put my money on those guys. Those guys can throw it 80 yards. They're capable of that.
Now, and I'll also say this to the delight of Vikings fans on this Tuesday morning, but I'm in misery because of my back. I'll put you in a little misery too.
Oh, man.
There's a chance that's his last act on the Vikings home field as a member of the Vikings.
Whoa.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying this is the week. If it's in the ether for a trade to occur, this is the time for it to happen because they still haven't paid him. I wrote something over the weekend about what it would take to get him, I think, to where he would be happy, especially when Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the GM of the Vikings, has said we regard him as a top non-quarterback. So forget about receiver market. Let's look at Nick Bosa's contract at $34 million a year in new money. I took that as the starting point for a Justin Jefferson contract, a 3-year extension. It's not hard to do. My point was, if you want to do it, Vikings, it's not hard to do. You've already satisfied the hardest part. We've got this special unicorn talent. Let's figure out how to pay him in a way that makes him happy. After we've said we regard him as a top non-quarterback, you've set the market. You've identified it. Just go put the deal together. My point is, until the deal is done, when you've got the possibility of the Vikings going from 11 to 2 or 11 to 3, there's a chance that they package their top receiver for that offer, as they packaged, under different circumstances, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Before that, Percy Harvin, who was an Offensive Rookie of the Year and an MVP candidate through the first quarter of the 2012 season, and Randy Moss before that. Look, they've had great receivers since 1976. They haven't been to a Super Bowl with great receivers since 1976. They haven't had a great quarterback, a truly great year-in-and year-out quarterback, other than Dante Culpepper for a few years, one year in particular, 2004. Brett Favre, 2009. Kirk Cousins was looking that way last year, but we know what happened. They want a franchise quarterback, and they may have to part ways with a guy who can hit the crossbar from the 45 to get him.
Listen, I mean, maybe. I wouldn't condone that behavior. I wouldn't condone a move like that. You know, you talk about it all the time. I mean, who talks about it more than you? The draft being a crapshoot. Wait, we got so-called best player in football that's not a quarterback right here. We're going to trade it in, especially if you get to pick number three. If they do that, I would be like, oh, my God, you're going to give Justin Jefferson and the picks for the third quarterback in the draft? That would be like that. I think you're crazy, Minnesota, and I think I have to talk Florio off of the ledge of maybe not letting him be a Vikings fan anymore. So that's where, you know, but yeah, maybe to get to two, you might have to start dangling some players out there. Two is Jaden Daniels territory. Yesterday, I'm going to clear this up too while we're on the subject. Remember yesterday, we kind of talked about Washington, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. I told you at the end of the show, I had somebody reach out to me to go, if it's not Jaden Daniels number two to the Commanders, it will not be Drake May at number two to the Commanders, right? So then, of course, I was like, all right, well, that's somebody I really trust. And I made one other call later on in the afternoon and kind of got the same answer. So, but either way, you know, getting back to the point, Jaden Daniels would be even more expensive, I think, to go to two than compared to three. I think that's a different story altogether. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because fundamentally, using a first-round pick for all the teams that will be using a first-round pick on Thursday night, you are essentially trading a first-round pick for that player. People don't think of it that way, but that's what you're doing. You have a first-round pick. You could do anything with that first-round pick. You could trade it for a player. When you use it, you are trading it for a player. You're giving it up for this rookie who has never played in the NFL. So with that basic context, which is 100% true, even if people don't realize it, would you trade straight up, Justin Jefferson for Jaden Daniels?
Ooh. No, I don't think I would. No. It'd be close. I feel like Justin Jefferson's really special. I do. I feel like Kevin O'Connell and what they got on offense is pretty damn good and special too. That, off the top of my head, a player like that for where a position I go, wait, I know this guy's the second best of the group, but I still think my offense can look really awesome with the third and fourth guy of the group too. I guess that's where my quick basic logic of you putting me on the spot right now would take me without thinking about it very much.
We made the point recently.
That's a tough one.
About Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. I think this was Friday when you were in your hammock with your pina colada and your blunt.
Right.
Getting ready for 420. But we didn't even talk about 420.
I know.
Yesterday.
You didn't even ask me about it yesterday.
But,
I know. Yep.
But the quarterback, you get the great quarterback. There are going to be players at every other position that come and go, including receiver. You get a great quarterback, he's going to outlive Justin Jefferson.
Yes, Minnesota. He will.
His prime is going to be starting as Justin Jefferson's is ending.
Right.
And they've got Jordan Addison. That's the guy we never mentioned.
Yeah.
Jordan Addison was special last year. He doesn't look it. He looks skinny. He looks fragile. He looks like he's maybe a biscuit heavier than Devontae Smith, if that much. But he can play. He was great last year.
Yes, he can.
So the thing they haven't had in that franchise since Fran Tarkenton retired was and is a franchise quarterback. And when you hear Kevin O'Connell, the clip we played yesterday when he was at that church event, he has resisted going after other potential quarterbacks, presumably in the draft each of the last 2 years, 2022, 2023, because the next guy has got to be the guy. So if the guy is Jaden Daniels,
right.
If the guy is Jaden Daniels,
yeah.
Look, now.
And you're I got it. Listen, I hear what you're saying. If you have your guy where you go, like, that's him. Let's hit my, right, so maybe that's where my answer's, like, if it was Caleb Williams sitting there, right, and how I believe in Caleb Williams, I'd go, make that trade, right? I really like Jaden Daniels, but I don't quite put him in that class of a Caleb Williams, Joe Burrow, C.J. Stroud, Mahomes, Josh Allen, the other guys I looked at as number one in their class, right? So that's why Jaden Daniels, I'd be like, eh, just a little bit in between Caleb Williams, though, or a guy that you were sold on that's the next guy to your point, okay, maybe I'm doing it. You're right about that.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
And the reason that I'm even saying this is the Vikings have had ample opportunity to give Justin Jefferson a second contract. And as we've established, and this is a proven fact in the NFL, there aren't many proven facts in the NFL, but this one is 100% true as well. The longer you wait, the more expensive it's going to get. The Devontae Smith contract is going to make it more expensive because Justin Jefferson, far better, far more accomplished, far more talented, all due respect, than Devontae Smith. And Smith got $25 million a year in new money. Again, it's $34 million. That's the number. And
it
that comes
like
straight
it.
From Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. That's the number. And when they start throwing around, we've talked about this before, they start throwing around, do you know how much he turned down? That's not coming from his camp. That's coming from the Vikings. There's been some frustration that I've detected. You know, the Vikings may be playing games here. If you value, and that's my point, they wouldn't be playing games with Justin Jefferson if they truly valued him the way they should. They would have paid him by now. So maybe they don't regard him deep down, just like with Kirk Cousins. Oh, we really want him. We really want him. Man, we can't wait to get rid of him. Thank God the Falcons took this guy off our hands. We're ready to move on and get our franchise quarterback. Yeah. We don't want the 36-year-old guy on one leg who has to stand in front of the mound to throw the pitch because he's still not 100% confident.
I hear
in
that.
Tendon.
This is guy in his prime that can take
I
over
know.
The league. And
they may be wrong. You know, they may be wrong, yeah. but they haven't paid him yet.
I hear you. Everything you say, I mean, I don't disagree with you other than the one thing of – and hey, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, he cornered himself a little with that comment. Okay, and I don't really remember him saying that, but I totally trust you. Right, I trust
he did.
You. That's a tough one because, again, that's significant in the NFL, and where I could see Minnesota going, whoa, a little bit is, I mean, you're by all due accounts, that is like blowing the market out of the water twice. I mean, that's what that is. I mean, you don't see that like almost ever, really. Next guy up is going to have like a third more money than anybody else at the top of the market. That's where I can imagine them being like, whoa, and you said Nick Bosa, and then maybe they're saying, wait, Nick Bosa, this is, you know, a year later or 2 years later, that's gone up more now. And if that's the case and they're going, wait, oh, we want $36 million a year or something like that, I could see them certainly trying to be creative, figure out a way, oh, no, what do we do here? And maybe that's adding to this trepidation or them dragging their feet here.
From Indianapolis, scouting combine across the room from where we were set up, we had Coach Kevin O'Connell. We did not have Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. He said this: "We've said it and we'll continue to say it. We think Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in the league and should be compensated as such. We think he's one of the best non-quarterbacks in the league, and we think he should be compensated as such." You've already written the check.
Yeah, you did.
You've already written the check when you say that.
Right.
And when you accept that as truth, it should take one day to do the contract. One day to sit down and hammer it out. You show that it's a priority. You call the agents, come to Minnesota. Let's get this done. We want to get this done. We want to pay your guy today. We're ready to make him one of the highest paid non-quarterbacks in the league. We've already said he should be. Let's do this today. Let's not screw around. Let's not F around and find out. Let's do it. And I guess the fact that it hasn't happened keeps me wondering, at the end of the day, is this just a stepping stone toward using Justin Jefferson as the bait to get the franchise quarterback?
All right. I mean,
I don't know how I feel about it, but I feel like that could still, until it doesn't happen Thursday, I feel like
Kwesi put his mouth, and he's got to write a check that maybe he can't cash there. All right. So that's your gut. You think something like that might go down, right? Like, I'm going to say no way. That would be my feel. The guy he's awesome. He's special. And, yes, to get to number two for that, I mean, I wouldn't let Justin Jefferson go. Not this day and age, the league we're in right now, the player, the coach I got with him, right? I think he's in another level than Jordan Addison. I'm going to say no. But you're like, if you had to bet a few dollars here, you're saying you think this might happen here?
I don't bet because I like to keep my money.
All right, well, imagine you're in that Las Vegas, place where that thing didn't work and you couldn't quite figure out how to work the machine like an old man.
Somebody won like 750 grand on one of those machines a few weeks after we were there, too. I can't reconcile what they should believe as to Justin Jefferson with their actions. They should have gotten this done before last year. Before the start of the regular season. They didn't want to guarantee, as best I can tell, the first 3 years of the deal. I think it's going to take 3 years fully guaranteed, too. But you do it for a truly special player. You do it for a Justin Jefferson. You scratched off the lottery ticket and you got a winner. You got a Hall of Famer. You keep that player on your team as long as you can. As long as he's performing at that level, you don't let him go. What are they doing? I mean, look, last year, I fully support when a guy has yet to get the reward he has earned and he has an injury, not coming back, not risking further injury, re-injury, aggravation until he's 100%. There's no way he misses that many games last year if he's got his financial security. And I support it. It's not malingering. It's being a good business person. I'm not going to put myself at any risk whatsoever until I have a contract that puts the risk on you, the team, if I come back and play to try to help us get to the playoffs and I blow out my hamstring and I need surgery or something. I'm not going to take that risk until you give me my reward. So they've already seen what happens by screwing around and not getting him paid. He missed 9-10 games last year or something like that with that hamstring as he was waiting for it to be 100%, and he should have. Now this year, what are they going to do? They're not going to sign him before the start of the season? See, this is what drives me crazy. Just do it today. Do it today. Ziggy Wolf, Mark Wolf, we know you pay attention at some level. You got people who are going to tell you what we were saying today about your team. What are you doing? Pick up the phone and do it today. Or trade him for Jaden Daniels. One or the other. Let's get this resolved by Thursday night, one way or the other, so I can go on with my life.
Apparently, I can tell you. Well, maybe... you do that. You buy another gaming system for them, all right? And then we'll call it a deal, all right? You got to do that. Hey, if they got to contribute, you got to contribute. You know, you want to spend the first 15 minutes breaking this down, I think you need to add a little sweetener on the pot for Justin Jefferson.
Hey, let me tell you, in addition to the gaming system, Justin Jefferson got for being the PFT 2022 Offensive Player of the Year, I expect something that goes pretty fast if I wanted to sitting out in my driveway if I can get him a new contract this week. If he gets a new contract this week, Justin, if you get a new contract this week, baby, I like a black Ferrari with a red interior. That's all I'm saying, and I'm kidding about that, by the way. Oh, and before we move on.
I'm not. Please give it to me. I'm not kidding. I'll take the black Ferrari with the red.
I'm completely kidding. I thought my back was healed this morning.
Right.
I slept on my back, which I never do. But I knew if I laid on my back, because I was moving around on Sunday night, and it was like every time you move, it's like there's a spear, not a knife, but a spear jammed into your ass. And so I slept on my back, alarm went off, felt good, got out of bed, felt good. It's like, is it possible? Took two steps, and it's like, got you, bastard. So it's still there.
It's still there. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, and I was led to believe for 5 seconds when I woke up this morning that it had magically healed because I slept on my back.
Yeah,
and
one
it got me.
One wrong move, one wrong step, one little like bend over the wrong way, and all of a sudden it's right back at you. All right, you did any like rehab yesterday? Anything you could do for it? Like no exercises that'll make it feel better, anything like that?
I went to physical therapy the last time it happened, but it's been so long ago, I forget the exercises that the guy gave me to do at home. And I was like, it's in that range right now where I'll just deal with it and it'll go away in a few days, I hope. It's not so bad that I feel like I need to go bother the guy and go to rehab. I know that's what he's there for and he gets compensated for it. But like, I don't want to have to make an appointment and like, hey, do you have time for me? And when can I go over? It's kind of a busy week. I don't want to take 2 hours out of my time to go get rehab. So I'm going to try to get through it this week. And if it's not better by Monday, we'll figure something out.
All right. Good luck.
Anyway.
Good luck.
It doesn't hurt right now, which is good. Any moment that it doesn't hurt is a win.
Good.
It's when I get up
break
and try
out your
to walk.
Cigar whenever you need it. You said
feel
that
like
makes
I'm
it
90.
Feel better. I mean,
no,
you know,
that helps the Crohn's.
Oh,
that helps
the Crohn's. That's right. Sorry.
Not the back.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'd be puffing cigars all day if it helped the back. Okay, let's move on. They're puffing a cigar in New York because they have finally solved their problem. We talked about it yesterday. They just needed to do it. They needed to get it done. It needed to be over with. The Jets have traded the second overall pick in the 2021 draft to the Denver Broncos for a flip-flop of 6th and 7th round picks and a split right down the middle of the financial obligation. $5.5 million is due to Zach Wilson this year, fully guaranteed. The Jets are paying $2.75. The Broncos are paying $2.75. The Broncos give up a 6. They get a 7. They get Zach Wilson. And the Jets offload, and they at the end of the day, they save about $1.7 million from what it would have cost them. Because if you cut the guy and someone else signs him for the minimum, you pay $4.4 million, the other team pays $1 million. So they made $1.7 million on this deal and moved a late-round pick from 7 to 6. That's it.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is the scenario that, you know, you felt like had to happen to get the trade done, right? I mean, we said yesterday, nobody's going to trade for Zach Wilson and pay $5.5 million, right? That's just not going to happen. So the Jets found somebody that got a quarterback need. You know, that's the first thing, right? Broncos got really, I mean, it's DiNucci and Jarrett Stidham. That's all they got. And you know, I don't think you're ready to put like DiNucci in the category of, ooh, I'll trust him here in a big moment or anything like that. I don't think he's earned that yet, right? Stidham, we know, is liked, really well liked. It's a perfect situation for Zach Wilson, right? This is one where I know Sean Payton likes Zach Wilson coming out in the draft, okay? So there's something there that he sees. And all the things we talk about, that's the problem with Zach Wilson. Just, hey, he had different offensive coordinators. He was thrust into the pressure cooker right away as a young football player. Now he gets to be with a guy like Sean Payton who is quarterback whisperers, going to stay on him about mechanics and thought process. And he's going to teach him things that he just, quite honestly, no disrespect, hasn't learned from some people yet. Sean Payton's amazing for a reason. He's got special qualities about how he teaches football, how he teaches the quarterback position. So it's great for Zach Wilson that way. I still fully expect them to draft a quarterback. As we talked about yesterday, I don't think you even want Zach Wilson as your backup right now. You'd like him as your third string, no pressure. Let's rewire the robot of Zach Wilson and see if we can get him maybe in a year or two to be an awesome high-end backup, and then we'll see where it goes from there. And that's where I think it's a good move by the Broncos, and you know, good for Zach Wilson, and good for the Jets to wash their hands with it too.
Well, And look, let's look at it from the Broncos' perspective as it relates to what this means.
Right.
Do you think at all, at all, this gives Sean Payton a minor insurance policy in the event he doesn't get who he wants in the draft? And as we get closer, I'm thinking, boy, they'd really like to get J.J. McCarthy, and maybe they'd settle for Bo Nix. But beyond that, I don't know how they evaluate the later round guys. Is Zach Wilson a suitable, let's see how he practices, let's see how he performs in the preseason, let's see if there's something there that would make us think he's our guy for next year? Kind of like what the Steelers are doing with Justin Fields.
Yeah, I hear you.
The Broncos could do with Zach Wilson, not to the same level because Fields is far more accomplished than Zach Wilson.
Right, right.
But it kind of gives you something. And I like the fact that it gives Sean Payton an opportunity to stick it to the Jets. I'm surprised Woody Johnson handed this guy to Sean Payton, because Sean Payton now has an opportunity. You're giving this guy act two with one of the great quarterback whisperers of the past 25 years. And if he turns Zach Wilson into something, Woody and his team is going to look like a bunch of idiots.
Yeah. No, this is the, you know, this is the reason and the fear. I think, you know, the Jets probably held on to him for the last 2 years a little bit of like, wait, he's really talented. We don't want him to go somewhere else. And we got egg on our face and somebody else turns him into the quarterback we thought he could be. So there's always that fear. And, yeah, they're going to have that fear right now, at least a little bit, because it is Sean Payton. And you trade a quarterback to Sean Payton, you're just like, oh, gosh, it's Sean Payton. He might make them look really good and fix them up, and then we're going to look like idiots over here. So, yeah, they're going to have to deal with that. But back to your original question, I don't think it has anything to do with drafting a quarterback. I think it's still about bolstering the room, assets. Stidham, I believe this is the last year of his contract anyways. I believe it was a 2-year deal. So now you got Zach Wilson in place to, hey, have an awesome third, but maybe after next year, he's your backup and the quality backup behind whoever they draft here, you know, on coming on Thursday, which, you know, again, like we talk about, I could see McCarthy being Sean Payton's cup of tea. Even though McCarthy's got a little bit of a longer motion, you know, the quick, short passing game, right, all of that, I don't think he'll be as good in that offense as Bo Nix will be, right? But I certainly think both guys would fit Sean Payton's system.
And, you know, it's quite possible that at the end of the day, the Jets have made the assessment, this guy's never going to be anything. We're willing to take
the risk that
Sean Payton's going to turn into a great player. Because after 3 years, we know.
We can understand them having that thought.
Jack diddly squat. We are just done with him. But it's good that they did it. They needed to do it. This needed to end. This shouldn't have been hovering over the Jets or Zach Wilson. We're still early in the offseason program. I don't want to give the Jets too hard of a time, but this is something that should have happened weeks ago. They squatted on him because they could. And as we said yesterday, if they were in position to take a quarterback with a top five draft pick this year, he would have already been gone, because they would have been desperate to make the new guy believe, if things go sideways, we'll do right by the guy that we once pinned our hopes to. And, you know, that's the bottom line. They pinned their hopes to him 3 years ago. Four of the five quarterbacks taken in the top 15 picks 3 years ago.
It's incredible.
Have been traded for day three picks.
Right.
And is that not a cautionary tale for Thursday night?
Yeah.
When you look at what happened with Zach Wilson, with Trey Lance,
right. With
Justin Fields,
right. And
with Mac Jones. Yeah. Is that not a warning as we have five more guys who could go top 15 on Thursday night?
Yeah. No, I it is a warning. There's no doubt about that. This was the ultimate class, though, of high ceiling and guys with low floors, right? Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson, I think, would all fit that mold, right? That's where I think this one's a little different. And as you know, I had Trey Lance that year as my 6th-rated quarterback. I had Justin Fields as my 5th-rated quarterback, because I saw things about their throwing and things that I was like, I don't think that can get it done. I'm not sure about that, right? So there was kind of a boom-bust potential with all these guys. I think Trevor Lawrence was looked at as clearly the safe guy, and Mac Jones was looked at as safe, of like maybe not the highest ceiling, but he had a pretty high floor, and we know he went through the weirdest thing we've ever seen in football, really, in the last 20 years with that offensive coordinator thing. But, yeah, you're right. It's a cautionary tale. I think what's different, though, about this group right here that I would say is different with that group, okay, is I didn't feel like guys like Trey Lance and Justin Fields, yeah, could stand in the pocket and make consistent NFL throws on a regular basis and be surgical within that offense in a pocket, right? That was my problem there. The difference with this year's class is these are five quarterbacks. It's not, you know, where that those guys might have been specimens. Ooh, they're specimens that I think we can work with and mold into a quarterback. These are all real quarterbacks. They're not specimen athletes. They're quarterbacks where we go, huh, they got some athleticism about them to do some things off schedule and do that. But they're quarterbacks, and they want to be in the pocket, and they all want to throw, and they all want to, you know, dice you up with decision makings and their right arm. And I think that's where this class is a little different than that last one.
Really, what a contrast from 2020 to 2021. 2020, yeah. A lot of guys panned out. Round one.
Right.
Round two. Right? Plenty of great quarterbacks from 2020. 21, we're still not sure what Trevor Lawrence is going to be.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is the year that I think we find out what he's going to be because, look.
Thought it was going to be last
year.
Many
of these, you don't have many of these trips around the sun as an NFL quarterback to get to the point where people say you are or you aren't.
That's right.
A shortlist franchise quarterback. It looked like he was after his second season based on his third season. Who knows? It's just amazing, though. Think about that. These guys who have washed out, for Trey Lance, it took two seasons. For Fields, Jones, and Wilson, it took three. And really, for Wilson, I'd still love to know what happened last year. Because after they had that debacle on the Thursday night against the Jaguars in December of 22, Jay Glazer on Fox that Sunday said they are done with Zach Wilson. He won't be back next year. And Glazer's never wrong. He's never wrong. He was right at the time.
Yeah, somebody told him. Exactly. Right.
Something changed after that.
Yeah.
And it was probably another Woody Johnson thing. Well, why are we giving up? What are we going to do? We owe this. You know, it's fully guaranteed money. We're going to cut him and we're going to pay him the debt. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. He's under contract for two more years. You know. So I don't know what happened. And then there was this weird moment fueled by Hard Knocks that hey, maybe being around Aaron Rodgers is going to turned Zach Wilson into a great quarterback.
Right.
I mean, it might have turned him into a hopeless conspiracy theorist. We don't know that yet, but it hasn't turned him into a great quarterback.
Boom. Two
if
days
that's
in
even
a row.
Him.
2 days
if
in
that's
a row.
Even him.
Boom.
If that's even him. So, you know, remember that narrative?
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's going to be this handoff.
Right.
Like, hey, this is going to work out well. And we fell for it. Yeah, hey, Aaron Rodgers is going to help Zach Wilson become the best version of himself, and then Zach Wilson gets the palate cleanser, and he's going to be the quarterback of the Jets.
Yeah.
And then Rodgers gets injured, and Wilson comes in, and it's worse than it was the year before.
It was
it
hard.
It ended up being worse.
Yeah. Right. Well, hey, it was a new offense. It was an offense, and they were going to do things that he certainly wasn't ready to do, right? So it's like, wait, we're excited, and we're doing this, and we're in place. You know, we're on page 475 in the playbook, and Rodgers and Hackett got all this stuff. Oh, man, Zach's back in. Wait, get back to page 4 of the offense. Okay, all right. Double wing right, ISO right. Set hut. I mean, that's so they got basic again, right? I mean, it just got to a point there where I think they thought there was the potential of that handoff if Zach Wilson could have sat the whole year and really fine-tuned some things and watch Rodgers. But again, you know, kind of unlucky to him that he got thrusted back out there and he's learning the new offense and language and verbiage and there's some new players. And then, of course, everybody started to get hurt on the damn Jets too, and that didn't help the situation. And you're right, it had moments of looking worse. You're right about that.
This is where also how do I say this properly?
Yeah.
But this is where Rodgers' inherent narcissism hurt Wilson and the Jets, because what they should have done last year is just slammed the door. There's no way Aaron's coming back this year. Don't talk about coming back. Go away like Tom Brady did when he tore his ACL week one of the 2008 season. Get yourself right. We'll see you next year. Now, we're taking this playbook and we're throwing it out. And we're going to do whatever we have to do to make the offense work with Zach Wilson as our guy for the rest of the year. Not Zach Wilson until miraculously Aaron Rodgers shows up on a giant white horse to save the day, which kept him relevant in a year that he shouldn't have been relevant. It should have been, we forget about our savior, we move on to Zach Wilson, we come up with plays aimed at getting the most out of him. We don't have to continue to learn this offense because Aaron might come back, because you got 10 other guys that you have to think about too who are out there on the field. That's where they screwed up. They should have somebody, and of course they weren't going to do it. They weren't going to stand up to the delicate genius last year because he was the guy who was going to save the franchise. They should have slammed the door on him for 2023 the same way Bill Belichick would have done if he was the coach of the team, and we're doing everything we can. We're going to drop plays in the dirt if we have to get the most out of Zach Wilson.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, I agree with, you know, a lot of what you're saying there. You know, I do. I think that's the reason, hey, Bill Belichick and some other organizations, yeah, when guys get hurt, right, you're not there. You're not around. You don't get to talk to the media. Why are you getting a say and confusing guys in the locker room and, you know, saying this and saying that? When we're focused on a goal here, and you got your own set of goals right now. You're not worried about this game, this win, what we got to do today. You're worried about rehab or whatever else, or the future and all that. And, yeah, that's why most times, right, there's a lot of highly run organizations, they keep that guy away, especially on Sundays during the game, right? That's the other thing, too. Right, because that adds more pressure on this. There he is on the sideline. There's the camera on him. Right, you know, it's just constantly. Oh gosh, okay, it's hovering over me. It's hovering over me. If you're playing quarterback, yeah, that was, I think, probably tough on all the quarterbacks. Tough on the Jets in general last year. But they had made their bed, and with how the whole contract was set up and everything like that, they wanted to make sure they got year two and maybe year three. So, like you said, they weren't going to, you know, disrupt that process there. Over Zach Wilson.
When he gave back that $35 million, nobody does anything for free. He gave back that $35 million. It gave him even more power and more influence, and it laid the foundation for him to do exactly what he did last year. And at the end of the day, he won because he was able to sell this idea that if they had been a little bit better, I would have been able to play. I would have completed this miraculous comeback, and they're the ones who didn't hold up their end of the bargain, or I would have been back there playing in the latter weeks of the regular season and playing in the playoffs if we had made it. It's on them to not make it. And, hey, now that I'm back this year, maybe we'll make it. But this year is going to be a different vibe altogether. It's going to be – I saw the other day a suggestion that, you know, they may let Rodgers tell them to take Brock Bowers. And they're not listening to Aaron. Folks, have you not been paying attention? They're not listening to Aaron Rodgers this year. If they were, David Bakhtiari would be on the team. They would have traded for Devontae Adams. They're not listening to de facto GM Aaron Rodgers this year. So if they take Brock Bowers, it's going to be because they see Brock Bowers as a good piece for the present and the future, not because Aaron Rodgers is pounding on the table for Brock Bowers.
No, I would agree with that, right? They got to be careful. That's why this number 10 pick, it's really interesting to see what the Jets do. It is. Is it going to be a little bit more self-serving, what we want for this year because it might be only year with Rodgers, or next year and we're going to go all in on that? Or is it going to be a little bit more big picture, as we've discussed a little, right? Are they going to take an offensive lineman that protects them a little bit, protects Rodgers? Tyron Smith, right, hasn't played. I heard a stat the other day. It's like hasn't played a full season since, what, 2015?
2015.
Yeah,
yep.
Right. You know, Morgan Moses is getting up there in age, right? This is Aaron Rodgers, who you heard me complain the last year he was in Green Bay, maybe even the second to last year, that he won't stand in the pocket and make throws down the football field, right? So that, to me, is paramount, not only for Aaron Rodgers right now, but I think for the future of the team. And that's where, you know, are the Jets going to take a Brock Bowers, or do they take an offensive lineman right there, or do they trade down a few spots and take an offensive lineman that they feel like will fall down those few spots? I don't know, but I would suggest the offensive lineman. That would be the big picture play for Chris Sims if I was running the Jets.
Well, look, whatever they're ultimately going to do is going to be driven by the owner, because one of the things that I am learning more and more, and they probably don't like this, that we're peeling back the curtain, the owners are far more involved than we realize, and they use their GMs and their coaches as the buffers, so when shit goes sideways, they don't get blamed for it. They can blame the GM or the coach. Everyone's on the hot seat this year. Rodgers said it himself on his way out the door press conference in January. And that's all the more reason for Woody Johnson to make sure, hey, we better not be just drafting a guy that's going to help Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh keep their jobs. We need a guy who's going to be here beyond this season, regardless of whether or not I'm hiring a new coach and a new GM when the season ends. And that's the situation for the Jets. It's basically the same team with some better veterans if they can stay healthy. That's a huge question mark that kind of got glossed over when they went out and signed those guys like Mike Williams. He tore an ACL week 3 last year. But you can't assume he's going to be wire-to-wire healthy. But if these guys stay healthy, this is actually a better team on paper than last year. But the vibe is very different. And moving Zach Wilson out of that picture, at least it's one less thing that people on the outside can look at and say, what a dysfunctional mess the Jets are.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It takes that, you know, out of people's minds. And, yeah, the expectations are real. There's no doubt. The Jets are super talented. I mean, period. It's a really well-built roster, right? My head wants to pop off up here in New York when people sometimes go, Joe Douglas. And I'm like, you guys have a super team. What are you talking about? Like, now it's on the players and the coaches to take advantage of it, period. There's nobody in football that's looking at the Jets going, well, they got a lot of work to do. Like, I mean, it's let's go through the team, right? I mean, O-line is pretty damn good if it's healthy, all right? And we know there's some questions there. Receivers are all right. Running backs are top-notch. Receivers are better than all right. They're good, right? The running backs are top-notch. Defensive line is arguably the best in football. Linebackers is up there with anybody in football. Corner play is up there with anybody in football. Safeties, of course, are good, not great. But so, I mean, the team's there. It's ready to be had. It's on the players and the coaches this year to take advantage of what the front office and Joe Douglas have set up for them.
The talent's there.
Yeah, the talent's there.
There are other issues that have yet to be resolved. One of the things you said, the young players popping off all the time.
Yeah.
And Rodgers tried to deal with that last year when he was injured but still around. I mean, there's just cultural stuff. And the culture of an organization ultimately flows from the very top of it, from the owner. That's the person who sets the tone within the organization in many different ways. And yes, the coach and the GM have a lot to do with it, but the owner has a lot to do with that process of the coach and the GM getting the right culture, getting everyone on the same page, getting everyone rowing in the right direction. And maybe it's difficult to do in New York, but the Giants have found a way to do it successfully and win, you know, a case full of trophies since 1986. Meanwhile, the Jets still trying to get back to the Super Bowl for the first time since 1970. And ownership has a lot to do with the success and failure of every team in the National Football League. But ownership doesn't want us to really talk about that, because when a team's bad, can't be the owner's fault. And at the end of the day, what can you do? You can't fire the owner. That's something that 49ers CEO Jed York famously said several years ago when the 49ers were going through their steep and multi-year dysfunction. And there's our transition to the next topic. Chris, I didn't plan that. It just kind of happened. The 49ers. Yesterday, pre-draft, easy for him to say, press conference, John Lynch, GM, meeting with reporters. Here is Lynch addressing questions about the biggest roster uncertainty currently on the team, fifth-year, first-round receiver, Brandon Ayuk.
And before, you know, questions, you know, I know a couple years ago there was a lot of talk about another receiver, Debo, and I said the same thing. But with B.A., you know, B.A., I've communicated on a couple occasions, on many occasions, our wish. And our wish is that he's here and a part of the Niners for the rest of his career. You know, we're working through that. And, you know, as such, you know, I was a player once, and I never liked my business being out in the public, and so I'm going to respect that. I'm not going to speak for their side. I can say we're having good talks, and I'm just going to leave it at that, and we'll focus on the draft here today.
Given permission to his side to go.
I'm not going to get in all those details. We're really focused on BA being part of us. He's under contract, and we're looking forward to that.
You never have to deny that you've given permission to the agent to seek a trade if you cut off the question before the question is actually finished. That's what Matt Maiocco was asking John Lynch yesterday. Have you given permission to Brandon Ayuk's agent to seek a trade? Because I think he has. I think he has. And it's good news for the 49ers because it hasn't really materialized in anything. But, Chris, here's the point. If they are going to do something, there's no reason to talk about it this week. You do the trade, assuming they get a first-round pick for him. It's an A.J. Brown type of a trade like we saw 2 years ago. Oh, that makes my back hurt to do the Mike Vrabel neck, the neck thing. But, yeah, you don't do it until that spot's on the clock. You acquire that team's pick. If it's the Steelers, for example, if you're going to trade him to Pittsburgh for their first-round pick, you don't get that first-round pick prematurely. So people can sit there and say, oh, gee, wonder who the 49ers are going to take. Let's try to cut the line in front of them. That's exactly what the Eagles and the Titans did. The Titans sent that pick to the Eagles while the Eagles' pick was on the clock. So, look, Lynch made it clear by the way he handled that question that there's been permission given.
Pretty much.
Now, that's different. That's different from, remember the initial report, and we had some fun with it a week or two ago, about Brandon Ayuk has requested a trade. He never requested a trade. This is the exercise that basically you've endorsed. Let him see what else is out there. You don't like what we're offering? Go see what else you can get somewhere else. And if no one else is going to offer you what we're offering, maybe that tells you something.
I think that's what it is. I think teams, you know, and I'm thinking the 49ers here, you get exhausted to a point of, wait, we're going back and forth. We've thrown you out a number that we think is respectable and that we think is, you know, top of the market for what you are and where you are, right? All right. Man, we're not even close. What? You don't want it? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, at some point you just got to, all right, go out there. Go see. You want that type of money because you think you're that type of guy. Go ahead and see if the rest of the league thinks you're that type of the guy, right? And, you know, and again, I think John Lynch, being an ex-player, he's being careful about, you know, airing dirty laundry. He's probably trying to be good to the agent and the player because I think they do really like Brandon Ayuk, right? They want him to be a part of the team. And so they're trying to make him not, you know, look bad by, you know, him making it look like, hey, he's looking for a new place to go and he doesn't really want to be there. So I think they're trying to do solid by, you know, by that. But yeah, at the end of the day, I am interested to see how this shakes out because I think you're right. I mean, I think Brandon Ayuk, by all due accounts, what we saw there, our common sense, everything there, right, that Brandon Ayuk could be on the trade block come Thursday night. The 49ers, can they make a move, including with Brandon Ayuk involved in that, to move up in the first round or do something like that, right? What would they acquire for Brandon Ayuk? Does it definitely get you a first rounder? I don't know if it does. I would bet you two, but we'll see. Either way. And then, of course, we know within that trade that some sort of a parameter or an agreement with a contract for Ayuk and the next team is going to have to be in a place. Nobody team is just going to trade for him and go, we don't even know what he's want, but we'll trade him. What? He wants $27 million? Rescind the trade. We don't want to do that. So, right?
Failed the physical.
Right, exactly. So they got to figure some of that stuff out. But I'm with you in that. I would think he's in play Thursday night or some point this weekend.
I think it's also revealing that when Lynch was asked if Ayuk could be traded this week, his answer was, I wouldn't anticipate that. That's different from
yeah.
No.
Right.
No.
Right.
No, we're not trading him. No, I wouldn't anticipate it. Well, okay. Well, I wouldn't anticipate it either, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
No. I take that
there
as
counting the minutes.
I'm not getting the offer I want yet, so I don't anticipate that. But if I get the offer.
But if I do.
Right.
If I do.
Right.
Right. But you're right. It's two things that have to happen. You have to give the 49ers what they want, and you have to give Brandon Ayuk what he wants. We touched on this yesterday as it relates to making an offer to a team higher in the draft. What does it get to get that team to move down?
Yeah.
You have to thread the needle. You have to find a way to, you know, find a team that values Brandon Ayuk so much more than the 49ers that they will pay him more than the 49ers will offer, and give the 49ers whatever the 49ers are looking for. Exactly what the Eagles did with A.J. Brown.
Right.
They valued A.J. Brown dramatically more than the Titans did because they were willing to give the player the contract he wanted the Titans wouldn't, and they gave the Titans a first-round pick for the privilege of paying the player. That tells you there's got to be a huge disparity in how the team that's had the guy for 4 years looks at him, and the team that would be bringing the guy in sight unseen perceives him. And I'd say buyer beware Like, because the 49ers aren't a team that tends to misevaluate their players.
Agreed.
Although you could say in hindsight, Agreed. Maybe they gave Deebo Samuel more than they should have.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
But they don't undervalue their players. There's a reason they are wherever they are in the negotiations. And if I'm the team thinking about throwing the sufficient money and draft pick, I really want to know why the 49ers aren't taking care of this guy. Why are they not doing for him what they did for Deebo Samuel and Nick Bosa? I'd want to know the answer to that question before I'd write that check and invest the draft pick compensation.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of what's being questioned out there, right? Ayuk hasn't necessarily just been like career numbers where you go, oh my gosh, he's a superstar and this is unbelievable, right? You know, before this year, he had only had 1 year where he barely got over 1,000 yards and got to 1,015. So I don't think everybody in football is looking at it and going, oh, he's just a bona fide number one, take over the game type of thing, like an A.J. Brown. There's no way Brandon Ayuk is that. I'm sorry. He's a damn good football player, but he's not that. Like we talk about with A.J. Brown or great players, he's an anytime, anywhere guy. Throw him a slant on your own 5-yard line, it might be a 95-yard touchdown. Or he may just run by you or break tackles or whatever. It doesn't matter. That's a different class of a human being and what gets offered to them monetarily. And that's where I think Ayuk is in a little bit of a spot there. And then I think not only that with, like, evaluating the player, but I think also what's going to happen here with Ayuk that's going to give teams a little bit of trepidation for the second time in about 5 minutes, that word there, is that teams are going to look at it and go, I mean, he's good. I like him. But damn, look at, you know, he's wide open right there. There's nobody in the screen here. Right. Is it Shanahan or is it Ayuk? You tell me. All right. And I think that's what's going to, yep. Again, you know, wide open over the middle. Right. So that's where I think that hurts Ayuk too is, wait, he doesn't blow you away with pure physical explosiveness ability, and then there's going to be how much is Shanahan's genius and his ability to make the guy look good too, and I think that'll hurt his value on the trade market, Mike.
And you got Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel,
Trent Williams
in that offense,
yep.
Kyle Juszczyk, who doesn't get mentioned as much as he should. You got Trent Williams in a pretty good offensive line. You got Brock Purdy, who is coming into his own as a potential franchise quarterback. You can't cover everybody. You can't account for everybody. That may be part of it as well. And that
100.
May be why the 49ers are being a little more careful about this. Hey, they recognize someone is going to be the guy that doesn't get the same attention as the other guys. So what happens when the deck gets reshuffled and Ayuk is the one who's getting the attention? Does he still get the production? And you're right. He had 748 yards as a rookie, 826 his second year, 1015 year three, and last year, 1,342, second-team All-Pro, averaged 17.9 yards per catch, career high by far. But, you know, you're right. There were a lot of those highlights we showed wide open. Now he had that great catch, that Lynn Swan-style postseason catch against
Amazing.
The Lions, where
right.
it was great focus and concentration. But this is the challenge. When you have a lot of great players on your team, how many of them are truly the difference makers and how many are just benefiting from the fact that they happen to be the third or fourth option on a great team with a great coach who knows how to put his players in position to get as open as Ayuk has been? So that may be the explanation, but my point is, if I'm the team that is going to give him what he wants more than what the 49ers will pay and give the 49ers what they would want to give up their contractual right to him for this year and the ability to franchise tag him next year and in theory a year after that, I want to know why the 49ers don't value this guy the way that we do, since we've never had him in our building. All we've done is faced him or studied film of him. We haven't had him around. They've had him for 4 years.
Yeah, I think those are fair questions, right? You know, I think all those questions will, you know, kind of ruminate in people's brains there. And I think ultimately, right, the 49ers, yeah, probably want a first rounder for Brandon Ayuk, right, with the type of money he's asking for. But I don't think that's going to happen. If Brandon Ayuk does get traded, I think it would be a second rounder. That's kind of how I would look at it or view it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm gauging this the wrong way there. But, clearly – the 49ers are not happy with whatever the number is Ayuk is asking for right now. I mean, that's obvious. And they've given him that free range to go and see what's out there and see what you can make happen. And they're in the process, and we'll see. It's another thing to watch out for. Because the 49ers at the end of the first round, too, where, again, I know my buddy Kyle Shanahan, right? He wants to be in the action. He's impatient, right? He wants to get back to the Super Bowl right now. I just know how he is. And he's going to be sitting there during the draft and like, damn, can Kyle sit there for 3 hours, right, without being a part of the mix and the thing and in the action? We'll see. But they're also in kind of like for addressing the needs of their football team, they're a little bit in no man's land for like people that might help their team out at the end of the first round. And I don't know if anybody the positions they need that are going to have the right value of guys there. So I would think the 49ers are in the definite mode of we're going to trade up and get somebody significant player, or we're going to trade back and acquire more picks and take that route and do that. But I would think that they're looking to make a move with where they're sitting and how I did my mock draft and look at the board and look at what they need. That certainly jumped out to me as I went through the process, Mike.
There is an interesting middle ground here. You think back to 2 years ago, it was the Eagles sending a mid-first-round pick for A.J. Brown straight up. You could take that 31st overall pick if you're the 49ers, put Ayuk with it, and how high can
exactly.
you go?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. Right.
And
right.
get into the teens, the upper teens, who knows?
Yeah, you know, they need a tackle, right? Would they go, maybe we want one of these tackles in the high 20s, the teens, whatever, right? You know, yeah, exactly right. I could see it. Is there a guy that falls down the board a little bit where then all of a sudden they go, oh, my gosh, he's available and we can get there with, a trading of the pick and Ayuk? Yeah, I'll be interested to see how they play that out. I really will. But I think them and the Lions at the end of the first round definitely sit there and you go – I could see them making a move either way because both teams are really well built. There's no desperate need, but yet the needs they do have, I don't think the value is there at that part of the round. And that usually dictates, hey, let's make a move up or back. And I could see both of those teams doing that.
And that's the reality of where we are right now. Everyone still has their cards pressed tight against the vest, and the time to start flipping the cards and showing the hands is coming in just 2 days and about 12 hours. Where is it? Where is it? We're waiting for it. Countdown clock. No countdown clock.
Damn,
countdown
it's a Kristen slow. She's not quick draw McGraw today. She's slow on it. There it is. About time,
oh,
Kristen.
There it is. Bang.
Jeez.
Since I've mastered finally which way to go in this weird backward monitor thing that I see, I finally, boom. Okay, so if Brandon Ayuk is traded.
Yeah.
His last game with the 49ers will have been Super Bowl 58, where he had 3 catches for 49 yards. The team that won that game, the Kansas City Chiefs. To the victor go the spoils. To the people in charge of the team go the money. The Chiefs pass out new contracts to some of their key employees. We'll take that up next on this Tuesday edition of PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.